Shalom, everybody. We're continuing in Rav Kook's Inaya, his commentary on the Agadita of Masechet Shabbat. And this is chapter 5, Piska Yud Gimel, on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet. Can you hear me?
I hear you, but I hear there are other people talking in the background. You need to mute everyone.
Okay. I'll try muting people. Here we go. Okay. Yofi. Okay, today we are going to see an example of Rav Kook's genius and creativity, where he takes a very plain-sounding Gemara, which doesn't seem like there is that much that can be said on it, and he really builds a very important point of Jewish philosophy about the Masoret, about Jewish tradition. Now, anyone who's learned Gemara knows that on just about every page, maybe even on every page, I never checked, every memra, every saying is said by someone, usually in the name of his Rebbe, sometimes in the name of his Rebbe's Rebbe, and his Rebbe's Rebbe's Rebbe. Sometimes you got literally four or five generations. And very often in the Gemara it says, oh, and some say that it was Rav, V'itema Rava. That's a very common one. There are those that say it's Rav, and there are those that say Rava, who said this following thing. And any high school student has asked himself, who cares whether it was Rav or Rava? Now, we're not going to talk about the fact that sometimes it really is significant in that if Rava says something, and he may contradict himself elsewhere, so that's significant. And then we have to break our heads and figure out what is the difference between the two sayings, because he's not contradicting himself. And so there are a lot of importance that the Gemara finds in it. There also is the importance of just passing down the Masoret of Jewish tradition, that if you know who said it, and he said it in the name of him, and he said it in the name of him, so that is, in the words of Tevya, tradition, tradition. Let us see the Gemara. Masechet Shabbat, Nun Dalet Amud Bet. Rav v'Rav Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Chaviva, Matnu b'chulei Seder Moed. These four Tanaim, Rav is like on the borderline between Tana and Amora, Rav Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan, who was among the first Amoraim. These are, I guess you could call them Amoraim. Matnu, Bechule Seder Moed, when they teach Torah from the laws of the holidays, including Shabbat, the Yamim Tovim, that whole second set of the Shas, Kol Kiai Zuga, Rashi explains, the four of these four rabbis who appear together regarding laws of the holidays, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan u'Ma'ayo Rabbi Yonatan. Rashi explains, there are those that take out Rabbi Yochanan and put in Rabbi Yonatan. Now, again, this is a classic example of who cares whether it's these three and this one or these three and that one. It's not really such a big difference. And here Rav Kook is going to give us a very important class on the importance of tradition, not just in terms of passing everything down to make sure that things don't get lost, but we're going to see, Rav Kook says, there's an important philosophical message here. Rav Kook, Gadol Erech hu ha'inyan shel shmirat ha'omrim b'chol ma'amar. It is very important to keep the exact names of every person, every rabbi who said each saying. Now, this should ring a bell. I've said this in the past, and we'll see if anybody remembers. Everybody knows the famous Gemara in Masechet Megillah that says, whoever says somebody in the name of he who said it brings redemption to the world. Now, the problem is, even that itself, people don't bring in the name of the person who said it. So the question is, who said that you're supposed to say everything in the name of the person who said it? So here we are going to see the magical answer. I hope you all understand the irony of that, that even when people quote something that says that you're supposed to quote the person who you're quoting, even that, they don't quote in the name of who said that. Right? There's a lot of hypocrisy running around. Source number three, Gemara Masechet Megillah, Tetvav Amud Aleph, Ve'amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rebbe Chanina. Notice, this is a twosome, a student and his Rebbe, who we are familiar, at the end of davening every day in Eretz Yisrael, we say, Amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rebbe Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. So Rebbe Elazar is saying, in the name of Rebbe Chanina, remember that for a second, Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula La'olam. Whoever brings something in the name of the person who says it brings redemption to the world. Notice, Rebbe Elazar is saying this in the name of Rebbe Chanina. And every time we say that you're supposed to say something in the name of the person who said it, we should say that this is Rebbe Elazar in the name of Rebbe Chanina who's saying you should say the person who quoted it. And where do we learn this out from? Shnei Amar Vatomer Esther Lemelech B'Shem Mordechai. And Esther told Achashverosh what Mordechai had told her in the name of Mordechai. Okay, so here we see that, yes, we know, it's known, it's important to quote the person who you are quoting. Why? Rav Kook continues, Ki ruach haklali shelo omer tzfunahi b'ma'amaro. In addition to the importance of the exact traditions that everyone always talks about, Rav Kook is adding a very important message, that it's important to identify the saying with the person who said it, because inside his personality, he includes a lot of different sayings. And his other sayings will help us understand this saying as well. So obviously we have to know who is the Ba'al HaMemra, who is the rabbi who, in order to get the whole picture of his personality, his lifestyle, his hashkafa, his way of looking at the world, we have to know who said it. Umidgale biyoter lo'avei Torah ve'oskim ba'lishma. And especially those who love Torah and learn it not for academic purposes, right? The academicians who they are very exact because that's the specialty of the academician of the professors. But Rav Kook is saying how much more so somebody who learns Torah for the sake of learning Torah because of his love of God, his love of Judaism and Torah, how much more so should he be in love to make sure to be exact? Who is saying every single statement? Ha'erech ha-mityaches el atzmut ha-omer shebimamar al yedei yediyat shem omro. What is the value of the importance? Ki ha-migama ha-klalit shehiniyah et ha-bal ha-mamar le-omro. What is the general motivation that is motivating this rabbi to say that which he did? In other words, only when you get the whole picture can you understand each and every individual saying. Hi le'olam yoter gvoha mi'etzem pratiyuta davar shemitra'e bo to ha'ma'amar ha'prati. The sum of the sayings of any given rabbi is a lot greater than each individual saying. Just an example that we once gave here. Rabbi Akiva is mentioned a lot. He is one of the central Tanaim. Now, only if you know his active role, as it's written in the Talmud Yerushalmi and the Rambam in Hilchot Melachim talks about it, only if you know Rabbi Akiva's active role in leading the spiritual leader, he was the spiritual leader of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, that he is a warrior and he wants to kick the Romans out of the land of Israel. That will help you understand many, many sayings of Rabbi Akiva. We actually gave a whole class on this. Somebody wants to find it, can find it in Yeshivat Beit El or YU Torah. Just Google Ari Shvat Akiva Kochva, and you'll find the class. And there are, I think we brought something like 20 different sayings that are clarified by the fact that we know historically, Rabbi Akiva and his 24,000 students, who were killed by the Romans in the Bar Kokhba rebellion, That helps me understand Rabbi Akiva's personality, his actions, his historical background. It really helps me understand a lot about Rabbi Akiva. And that's just one example, and the same thing is true about every rabbi. So again, this is point number one. In addition to the importance of keeping tradition and the exactness, because once you start changing and making mistakes, you end up losing the baby with the bathwater, Rav Kook is saying that there is an inyani, a shikul chinuchi, an educational factor, which is very important to understanding this individual saying, if you understand who said it. By the way, the professors who deal, who teach Torah Shebal Peh, this is a very important addition. There is this Rav Avram Hyman, who wrote Sefer Toldot Tanaim V'Amoraim, where he gathers all of, sometimes you have literally thousands of sayings of an individual Tana. They help us understand each other, each of the different sayings. Paragraph Bet. Alken, therefore, Mitzad yediat shem ha'omer kvar yesh nativ mifulash lenesi'at ha'de'a lechlaliyut ha'tochen shel ha'davar ha'mekif ha'meniat ha'omer l'mamaro. As soon as I know who is saying it, that helps me have a much deeper understanding of that which is being said, of this piece of Torah. V'anyana klali wapoel ha'yesodi bashlamat ha'olam hanirtzet me'anshei ha'ruach ba'avodatam ha'ruchanit. Rav Kook is adding a second point, that this idea is directly connected with the central idea in Rav Kook's writings of ha'achdut ha'kolelet, that just as the forest is made up of individual trees, so too you can only understand the individual halachot by having an overview, by having a general understanding. And this idea of the klal will help us understand the details is something very, very important. Here Rav Kook is jumping down because it's a long paragraph. He brings in this context the pasuk in Tehillim Samech Aleph, Agura bo'alecha olamim, I will live in your tent forever. Rav Kook is pointing out that this idea of being exact in everything, even regarding the name of the person, of the rabbi who said it, that ensures that he and the saying will live in the tents of Torah, forever. It's a beautiful explanation of this pasuk. Chutz mima she'aroshem achai she'po'el be'et ha'akara, oseh gam ken et peryo b'gniza b'chlalut ha'uma, b'yoto mitzuraf la'roshem shel ha'ma'amar atzmo, v'lo yuchal liyot batel ve'over. That the only way to really understand the saying is by understanding the sayer, and vice versa. Knowing who is the sayer helps us understand the saying, and also knowing this saying will help us understand what the sayer says in many different places. Maybe I should bring an example from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Since the last Siyum Hashas, I've been learning with my Chevruta Talmud Yerushalmi, and it is extremely frustrating because of what we're talking about. Because there are so many different girsaot, so many different editions. Was it Rav or Rava? Was it Rabbi Yonatan or Rabbi Yochanan? Is it Rabba with a hey or Rava with an aleph? And it is extremely difficult to learn Talmud Yerushalmi. And one of the reasons, it's like the chicken and the egg. Because it's so difficult, so the Rishonim didn't write their commentaries on it, which makes it that much more difficult. And it's a vicious cycle. On the other hand, Rav Kook was very much into the Talmud Yerushalmi, especially now that we are returning to the land of Israel. As a matter of fact, Rav Kook used to learn on a regular basis with Rav Professor Shaul Lieberman, who was the greatest authority on the Talmud Yerushalmi of the last generation. And he learned in Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav. And he was a totally Orthodox Jew, even if afterwards he went to JTS, which is a very famous question. Why? You can find different answers on the internet, including one that I suggested in an article that I published. But what Rav Kook enjoyed about the Talmud Yerushalmi, about learning with Rav Lieberman, was that Rav Lieberman could discuss with Rav Kook also the Yerushalmi. He didn't just know the Babylonian Talmud, he also knew the Yerushalmi Talmud. And when Rav Lieberman spoke about his idol with his students, and I heard this from three different students, he idolized Rav Kook, who and said Rav Kook knew everything, including the Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay, let us go on. We're just at the beginning. Paragraph number Gimel. You know what? Let us go down to paragraph Dalid. You know what? Maybe just I'll give another example of there's also you can find in an article that I wrote. You can Google in Hebrew Elazar Pidat Arishvat, and you'll find that Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat was very much into the midah of humility, which helps us understand many of his sayings. And so much so, it's interesting, there are certain places in the Gemara that says, well, maybe it's Rabbi Eliezer, and maybe it's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat. There are those who say that it's Rabbi Eliezer, there are those that say that it's Rabbi Elazar. After knowing Rabbi Elazar ben Pidat's personality, very often that will help us answer the safek, answer the doubt, which of them really said it. So there's another advantage of knowing who said what. Now we have arrived to the punchline. Again, for those who arrived late, the Gemara Masechet Shabbat says that this set of four rabbis, whenever you see them learning together something from the laws of Shabbat or the Chagim, Seder Moed, you should know that the fourth rabbi, maybe it's Rabbi Yochanan, and maybe it's Rabbi Yonatan. And Rav Kook is now going to discuss why is it so special, the fact that we're talking about that this foursome were always together regarding Seder Moed. Apparently this is significant. Rav Kook, again, this is connected with what we're learning tonight and throughout the writings of Rav Kook, in Kotem Begodel, no small detail is too small on something big like Torah. Why is it Seder Moed is significant? Rav Kook explains beautifully. Beseder Moed, nikar yoter roshem, shelasfeikot kama hem po'alim. Regarding Seder Moed, the idea of a safek, of a doubt, is an inherent part of the laws of the holidays. That's what timing is about. And Rav Kook immediately brings an example. Safek shel yontov poel pulato al pizurei Yisrael mitzad yontov shenishu galiyot b'midah gdola. All of us who grew up in Chutz La'aretz know that the second day of Yom Tov is an important part of Judaism, that second Seder, those 8 days rather than 7 days. And we all know that all comes out of a safek, out of a doubt, whether today is Rosh Chodesh or tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, right? But when they used to establish Rosh Chodesh by witnesses. Now, where Rav Kook is pointing out that this idea of sfeikot, and again, remember, parenthetically, what is our safek, what is our doubt on our topic, was the fourth in this group. Was it Rabbi Yochanan or was it Rabbi Yonatan? Rav Kook is saying, and the Gemara goes out of its way to say, that this foursome always learnt together, Seder Moed. Why? Because the idea of exactness is very intrinsic in the laws of Moed and Kiddush HaChodesh, and deciding when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Let's jump for a second to source number four, where I imagine most of you remember this from elementary school. Vayomer Moshe, ko amar Hashem, kachatzot alayla ani yotze betoch Mitzrayim. Moshe says, about midnight, Hashem says, I am going to go out over Egypt and strike the firstborns of the Egyptians. Now, why does Moshe say in the name of God about midnight? The obvious question is, by God, there is no about midnight. God can know exactly when midnight is. And by the way, midnight is not 12. Is that p.m. or a.m.? I don't know if 12 midnight is p.m. or a.m. You can Google it afterwards. The idea is midnight is exactly 12 hours after Chatzot Hayom. This time of year, for example, it's like something like 11:30 in Israel. Anyway, so Rashi brings down the name of Chazal. V'rabotenu darshu, one is Moshe say, Ki Chatzot Halayla, about midnight God is going to come. V'amru she'amar Moshe kachatzot, d'mashma samuch lo olifanav ulacharav, v'lo amar bechatzot. Moshe said about midnight, maybe a little before, maybe a little after. Why does he say about midnight? Shema yituatz dignine paro, because Paro's, Pharaoh's astrologers might make a little mistake. And when they figured out, oh, this should be midnight, maybe they're not exact. V'yomru Moshe badayu, and they will say, ah, Moshe Rabbeinu does know what he's talking about. Midnight came and God did not come. And then, Avalakadosh Baruch Hu yodea itavru ga'av amar bachatzot. When Hashem tells Moshe, I will come at midnight bachatzot, Moshe changed it and he said kachatzot, because human beings are not exact when it comes. And that's the problem of Rosh Chodesh. Is this the new month? Was the new moon seen? Or is tomorrow was the new moon seen? So again, Rav Kook is pointing out beautifully that this idea of safek, of having doubt, is an intrinsic part of the laws of the holidays. As we see regarding Yom Tov Sheni. Etzem rishumei asfekot bikviyut ha-moadim, the very doubt that we have regarding Yom Tov also raises doubt, is today Yom Kippur or tomorrow Yom Kippur? Depending if was Rosh Chodesh one day or 2 days, that would depend whether 9 days later Yom Kippur is going to be today or tomorrow, and all the rest of the holidays are also going to be thrown off. Atem afilu shogegimu mezidim. Rav Kook here is referring to the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Let's see it inside, which will help us understand Rav Kook. Daf Chafei Amud Aleph in Rosh Hashanah, famous Gemara, where there is a machloket between Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Even these two greatest of rabbis, there was a machloket whether Rosh Chodesh was 1 day or 2 days, and accordingly, is 9 days later, is this day Yom Kippur, is tomorrow Yom Kippur? Shalach lo Rabban Gamliel, Gozrani Alecha, Rabbi Yoshua, I decree, as the head of the Sanhedrin, says Rabban Gamliel, Shetavo etzli b'makelcha uv'maotecha b'yom ha-kippurim shechal yot lefi cheshboncha. On the day that Yom Kippur falls out according to your calendar, I want you to come to me, even if there's no Eruv, on Yom Kippur, with your walking stick and your wallet. In other words, we have decided that this day, what I say is Yom Kippur, and not what you say is Yom Kippur. Now, is Rabbi Yoshua going to go? He did. He accepted Rabban Gamliel's authority, and he actually carried his wallet and walking stick, muktzah, and without an Eruv, on Yom Kippur, according to his own cheshbonot, according to his, what's the word? Cheshbonot. Figuring it out. Tashma, continues the Gemara, Detanya. Halach Rabbi Akiva matzol Rabbi Yoshua kishu meitzar. Rabbi Akiva then saw Rabbi Yoshua, he was very depressed. Why? He, according to his cheshbon, he had just desecrated Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. Amar lo Rabbi minei ma'ata meitzar. Rabbi Yoshua, why are you so upset? Amar lo Akiva, ra'ui lo sheyipol lemita yud bet chodesh, ve'al yigzor alav gezeira zu. He said, you should be, chas v'shalom, obviously, you should be sick for an entire year, sick in your bed, rather than have to carry out this decree of the head of the Sanhedrin, who told me to desecrate Yom Kippur, according to my cheshbon. Amar le Rebbe Tarsheni lomar lefanecha davar echad shelimadtani. Rebbe Akiva said, who was a student of Rebbe Yoshua, he says, let me remind you of something that you taught us. Amar lo emor. Yeah, go ahead. Amarlo, Rabbi Akiva said, you taught us, Hareyu Omer, it says in Vayikra Chav Gimel Bet, all of these psukim are in Vayikra, chapter 23. It says the word otam, otam, otam three times. And when it says otam, these, as we'll see in a second, it doesn't say otam with a vav, it says otam without a vav, which can be read atem, you. Let's see the first pasuk. Moadei Hashem asher tikru'u otam mikrai kodesh. I deciphered it for you to make it easy to read, but the Torah does not say, we say otam, but it's written atem, like that, without a vav. In other words, these are the holidays that you, atem, you shall declare. A second pasuk. Ele moadei Hashem asher tikru otam b'moadam. A third pasuk. Ele moadei Hashem asher tikru otam mikra e kodesh. All three of these psukim, it says not otam, but it's written atem. Why does it say atem, kriyuktiv? This is one of those examples. A lot of people who don't learn Gemara don't understand why a lot of times in the Sefer Torah, it says one thing. We say one thing, but it's written a little different. The dotting is a little different than that which is written. This is an example. So why does it say atem? Why is it written atem, even though we say otam? Atem, you. These are the holidays that you made. Afilu shogegin, even if you're mistaken, and you say the wrong day is Rosh Chodesh and the wrong day is Yom Kippur. Atem afilu mizidim. And you know what? Even if somebody makes not a mistake, even if by purposely they said the wrong day, Atem afilu mut'im, even if you made a terrible mistake, even if it wasn't an accident, even if somebody led you astray, even if the witnesses led you astray, saying we saw a new moon, nevertheless, that is Rosh Chodesh. In other words, who decides when Yom Kippur is? Am Yisrael. Who decides when Rosh Chodesh is? Not God, when he takes out the new moon or not, but when the Jewish Sanhedrin decides it's Rosh Chodesh, we decide when the holidays are. Bilashon hazeh amar lo Akiva nichamtani, Akiva nichamtani. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yoshua says, you have comforted me. In other words, according to my cheshbon, I desecrated Yom Kippur. But that's irrelevant, because what was decided in the Sanhedrin is that the following day is Yom Kippur. Now this is very important, connected with the Gemara Masechet Brachot, Dav Mem Tet Amud Aleph, source number 7. We all know the bracha that we say on the holidays at the end of each prayer, Baruch Ata Hashem, not Mikadesh HaShabbat, like we say on Shabbat, but Mikadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim, that God sanctifies Israel and the times, the holidays. Now, why do we say sanctifies Israel and the holidays? Why don't we say on Shabbat, Mikadesh Yisrael v'Shabbat? The Gemara explains, Yisrael dikadshinu lizmanim. We say, bless God who sanctified Israel, and Israel sanctified the holidays. And the same thing on Rosh Chodesh. Mikadesh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodeshim. Shabbat, God decided when is Shabbat. When sun sets on the sixth day, that is Shabbat. And it doesn't depend on the Jewish people. Shabbat comes in when it comes in. But the holidays come in when Am Yisrael decides when the holidays are. And that is a very significant example of the strength of the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the oral law. So again, what is Rav Kook saying here? He's saying, getting back to paragraph Dalid, okay, even if the Jewish people are mistaken, even if they make mistakes on purpose, what Am Yisrael says, that is what is. Now, like in this example, there was a machloket. There is a safek. Was Rabban Gamliel correct? or was Rabbi Yoshua correct? Is today Yom Kippur, or is tomorrow Yom Kippur? Rav Kook is saying this is directly connected. That's why it's not a coincidence that this group of four rabbis, they always learn together the laws of Moed, and that's an example of why a safek. Was it Rabbi Yochanan who was the fourth rabbi, or Rabbi Yonatan the fourth rabbi? Well, it's a safek. We're not sure. These we're not sures we learn from the holidays are an important part of how the Torah runs. We're running out of time, so let us jump down a little to the bottom of paragraph Dalid. Al ken, nichbad lanu ledat pirtei omrim kulam. That's why it is very important for us to know all of the details of all four of the rabbis. Why? V'yachas ha-safek, and even regarding that which is in doubt, was it Rabbi Yonatan, was it Rabbi Yochanan, she-be'echad me'em utzuraf l'ma she-bechulei seder moed chala chiluf. Hare, throughout all of Seder Moed, we are taught here, whenever you see this foursome, it's a doubt whether that fourth, Tana, or Amora, actually, first generation Amora, it's a doubt whether it is Rabbi Yochanan or whether it is Rabbi Yonatan. Bechol ki agazuga chilufi Rabbi Yochanan umayu Rabbi Yonatan. Some say take out Rabbi Yochanan from the foursome and put in Rabbi Yonatan. Ve'en lanu davar ba'olam shekol kach nikeret bo hashpa'a subjektivit. There is nothing in life and nothing in Torah where the importance of subjectiveness is so important. Yes, it's significant whether it's Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yonatan. Why? Just like it's significant regarding all of the laws of Yom Tov, all the laws of witnesses. When two witnesses see something, even if we don't have a Sanhedrin, you all know this from weddings, the two witnesses come up to the chuppah, the Mesader Kedushin, the rabbi, tells them to stand at the same angle because both witnesses have to see the exact same action at the exact same time from the exact same angle. Why? Because the idea of subjectivity plays very an important role regarding the laws of witnesses, regarding the laws of is today or tomorrow Rosh Chodesh, is today or tomorrow Yom Kippur, regarding all of the holidays, is today or tomorrow Pesach. Davka lefia nosei, kikviuta moadot ukedushatan elokit. Notice, it is Am Yisrael who decides what day is Yom Kippur, today or tomorrow. We decide, and who makes it holy? God. God agrees with the Jewish people. If the Jewish people decide that this day is Rosh Chodesh, God makes it holy. Mikadesh Yisrael vehazmanim. Such a beautiful idea. Hanikred aleihem mimromam al kol azmam umsaper umispar shanav lo yechkar. And this is something that ensures the eternity of the Torah and of the rabbis who say each and every saying. Paragraph, hey, we're running out of time. We're going to speed up now. Ve'ota hashpa'a ha-mivareret lanu et ha-yachas ha-muvtach shanu motzim lefi yiridatenu mishochen adei ad baruch hu. Right? God, who is eternal, he is the one who makes sure that the Torah will be eternal, even if there are machlokot, even there's a difference of opinion. That is part of the eternal Torah. Mivareret lanu gam kenet yichusei kol hapratim. God helps us clarify and verify all of the details. And that's the importance, again, of what we're talking about. The details of being exact in transmitting the Jewish tradition, and also of the sayer of the saying. Also of the saying and also the sayer. Shehem mityachsim davka lanu lefi chalishutenu, that davka, because we are mortal and we forget things and we have sfeikot, God is the one who steps in and he helps us out. Mikoma kom kishemitnagim b'em alpi or Hashem, when we follow the light of God, asher ya'ir lanu, he is the one who lights up for us. Here, Rav Kook is obviously referring to the idea of the new moon, which is the basis of all of the machloket between today or tomorrow, whether it's Rosh Chodesh, you see the new moon, you don't see. God is the one, and the Maharal Miprag, in his famous Sefer Be'er HaGola, writes about the oral law, oral tradition. He says, God, don't worry. Just like God watches over the nation of Israel, God watches over his Torah. It's not logical that God would just give the Torah at Sinai and forget about it. He gives the Maharal gives the example of Edim Zomamim, where the halacha is, oh, we don't have time to go into it, those who know the law of Edim Zomamim know that if you kill one, you don't kill the other. How do we know? Well, God is the one who arranged that this one should be killed and not that one. And that is an example of how Hashem watches over his Torah. I'll just mention another example. Rav Moshe Feinstein once said that he has a Masorah, a tradition that whenever a Beit Din says that an Aguna is allowed to remarry, don't worry, the first husband will not reappear. In other words, God watches over the Agunot. He watches over the Torah to make sure that the Torah that's passed down is going to be the good and true Torah. Hine yelanu achoshech leor umakashim lemeshur. Here, Rav Kook is bringing a pasuk that with the help of God, that darkness, those sfeikot, whether it's this seir or that seir, whether it's Rosh Chodesh today or tomorrow, Yom Kippur today or tomorrow, all of this darkness, God will help us see it through. Paragraph Vav. Ubeze nichlalim. By the way, watch. Don't leave early because the last sentence here is a unbelievably innovative explanation of Rav Kook of a pasuk in a way that it, our topic, perfectly explains this pasuk. Uveze nichlalim kol pirtei ha'orah ha'aluma ha'nimtzeit bichlal ha'sfeikot. Right? This is the idea of how Jewish tradition, and with the help of God, helps us in be enlightened on every doubt. And that's why we have to be so exact, even if it's a doubt, whether it's Rabbi Yonatan who said it, Rabbi Yochanan who said it, especially regarding Seder Moed, like we said, the laws of the holidays. Shehim otzmam movilim gamken al pit tanayehem leotam advarim hamuvtachim shavadayut movila lehem lefi erkam. Again, if you know that three of the four, we know who said it, well, that's a certain amount of clarity. If we're in doubt regarding the fourth, whether it's Rabbi Yonatan or Rabbi Yochanan, that is a higher degree of clarity. And here comes Rav Kook quoting several psukim from Tehillim Ayin Gimel 73, between psukim Kaf Bet and Kaf Chet. This is six psukim. Follow through how everything is explained by what we have learned. Vani ba'ar v'lo eda, be'emot hayiti imach. David HaMelech is saying, I am sometimes, we, people, are sometimes like animals, that we do not know, we don't understand. Again, sometimes we have sfeikot, we have doubts, regarding Torah, regarding life. Va'ani tamid imach achazta biyad yemini. But now, but I am with you, the fact that I am always with you, God, and you hold my hand, that is how God clarifies that which is in doubt. Be'atzatcha tancheni, God, with your etzot, with your advice regarding how to relate to sfeikot, tancheni, it will lead me. Ve'achar kvod tikacheni, and afterwards, it will add honor. What is Rav Kook explaining afterwards? After the safek, the doubt has been decided, for example, by the Sanhedrin, that they decide that Allah is like Rabbi Gamliel, or and not like Rabbi Yoshua, for example. So after Hashem has given us the oral law and helps us ascertain and verify, so then there is honor. Honor to the Torah, because the doubt has been verified. Mili bashamayim, who do I have in the heavens? Do you catch what Rav Kook is saying? Regarding the laws of the new moon, regarding the Seder Moed, the heavens, who do I have in the heavens? that can help me out regarding these doubts. Ve'imach lo chafatzti ba'aretz. Kala she'ere ulevavi tsur levavi. Kala she'ere, kala, there's a play on words here, like a bride. A bride who, when she is away from her chatan, from her bridegroom, absence makes the heart grow fonder. During that period, in the olden days, in the time of Chazal, there was a year between the Kiddushim and the Nisuin. That absence, like in our case, the absence of knowledge, the safek, davka, makes our love of Torah, that we break our heads to figure out what is the real answer, that makes us that much greater. V'chelki Elokim le'olam. And my lot is with God forever. Again, because when we are with God, and this exactness of the Masoret, of the tradition, being exact regarding the saying and the sayer, that is what ensures that the Torah is going to be eternal. Again, like the story of Tanur Shel Achnai, Nitzchuni Banai Nitzchuni, you have made me eternal. Shati Ba'Hashem Elokim Machsi. I put my lot with God, my protector. L'saper kol malachutecha. And to tell all of God's doings. What does it mean, all of God's doings? Including those sfeikot, that the Torah is God's, even when we have unclarity, because with the rules that God established, and the Sanhedrin, and the new moon, and God watching over us, we do have clarity regarding the Torah.